This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Award-winning photographer Shamma Issouf, also known as Sham Jalimi, hails from the Mauritius but has been based in Malaysia for over 10 years. Besides her work and photography, she runs a women's empowerment group and she also does volunteer work for animal welfare. She joins me today to discuss her work and specifically how she addressed the discrimination she faced due to her gender in the field of photography. Welcome, Shamma. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. I'm so happy to be here because I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're a fledgling show, but thank you. That's very positive to hear. So, I mean, maybe you could tell me a bit about yourself just to start off. You know, I know you have a day job. You're not a full-time photographer. Just tell me a bit about yourself.
My day job, I work as a humanitarian in a UN agency. Mm-hmm. However, I take my photography very seriously. It's my passion and I would say it's my purpose. And as you said, I'm an award-winning photographer. What I do is, I call it wildlife portraiture.
Okay.
It's not just wildlife, it's not just portraiture, it's a combination of the two. When people say portraiture, what they usually mean is portraits of people. But what is a portrait? It's capturing the essence of an individual. So that's why I use this term, wildlife photography and wildlife portraiture.
So you obviously have a deep love for nature and wildlife. You know, what first sparked that?
I've always been such in awe of nature and animals and baffled by people.
I share that same sentiment. Yes, I totally understand.
I think the natural world is such a treasure and it's a shame that now we are in the Anthropocene, which means the age of extinction.
Brought about by humans.
Brought about by humans and definitely caused by us. And it breaks my heart that we are losing animals and plant species every day. Extinction is forever. So I made it my purpose to portray these animals before they go away forever.
So growing up in Mauritius, were you exposed to a lot of wildlife? You know, I mean, what sort of, how would you describe your growing up years?
Mauritius definitely does not have as interesting wildlife as here.
Yeah.
We have pigeons.
Who are fascinating in their own way.
We have one species called the pink pigeon, which is very pretty, and it was endangered. Now it's doing okay. Mm-hmm. And then some species of birds, some reptiles. But we don't have the what we call the charismatic megafauna. Mm-hmm. This is the term for it. So when I came here and I found this amazing fauna, it was just like a wonderland for me.
Okay.
Malaysia has so many treasures, like the orangutan, the slow loris, the tapir. Yeah, and I sought them out and wanted to portray them. Yeah.
And just looking at your photography, is that something that you started at a young age or was that something that you found later in life?
Well, my passion is for art in general, mm-hmm. and for animals. So it just seems natural to photograph them. But if I wasn't photographing animals, I would be painting them or doing some kind of art around them.
Okay, so you do dabble in painting and those sorts of things?
I did, yeah.
Okay, not anymore.
Once in a while.
Did you go for like professional classes for photography or was it just something that you went by instinct?
I did have a few modules while I was in college, but I'm mostly self-taught.
Okay. How would you say you got started professionally with photography? Was that only when you got here?
Yeah, when I arrived in Malaysia, I started in college, but I was so poor, I could only afford a film camera. But then it turned out it's even more expensive than a digital one because the fees to get the prints out.
Yeah, develop the film,
right? Develop the film. And so with my first salary, when I started working, the first thing I bought was a digital camera. Yeah.
And you sort of just took that and started going
on. I never looked back.
Yeah. You also run a women's empowerment group, which I believe is called Feminist United. Could you tell me a bit more about that?
Yes, there's this NGO called AWAM, and I joined their feminist weekend activity. They called it the Fem Camp. And there I met like-minded feminists. And as the homework, we had to come up with an activity. So I decided to set up this online group, and some of the members helped me. They set up an online Facebook group. Then we add people who want to know more about feminism. It's just about making feminism more accessible to them. They might not know anything about it, but they're curious. So we're very welcoming to them. And we post articles we have discussions sometimes online.
I think because the word feminist, I always say this in the series, has become a very dirty word. People, like yes. you said, don't understand what it means. They imagine the very radical, men-hating, bra-burning type characters. So I suppose you're out to sort of demystify what feminism is all about.
Absolutely. I think many women are scared of the term. Mm-hmm. They're scared of adopting it, owning it, because, as you said, it is a bad word here
yeah.
in this region.
Yeah. So you identify as a feminist.
Absolutely.
And what does that, I mean, how do you embrace that, I suppose, and how do you use that in your sort of daily interactions?
Well, this year, my resolution was to support women fiercely in whatever endeavor they undertake, mm-hmm. be it creative or in their work or in their personal life, because I want to be that voice that tells them you can do it. Very often, they don't have anyone telling them that, and we can do it.
So Feminists United.
Yes.
I mean, do you have sort of like other outreach programs? Do you meet up? Is it purely an online forum or are there, you know, outside activities?
Do you remember when the Women's March was happening worldwide?
Yes, of course.
We didn't have a march, but we did have a meetup. We just sat down and had coffee, but that was our version of the march, just out of solidarity for our sisters all over the world.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the first one, and I hope to have more in the future.
Okay, I guess it's still a very fledgling group.
Yes,
okay,
we're very new.
How many members do you have so far?
It's a closed group,
okay.
So it's friends adding friends.
Okay,
we want to be sure that no one is added against their will. So right now we're about 50.
Okay, all right, so small but growing, I'm sure. And
yeah.
I mean, it's open to everyone who's interested, I suppose.
Yes, yes.
Is this a Facebook group? Is that how you sort of add people?
Yeah, people who are in the group will add their friends to it.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, let's just say anyone who's listening here who's interested, would they just have to search for Feminist United and, I suppose, get approval from the moderators? Is that
how they can
work?
Reach out to anybody who's in the group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, just going back to your photography. So, obviously, you love animals and you've been capturing, and I think owls are one of your favorite topics. Why is that?
Well, when I arrived here, for the longest time, I didn't see any owls. First of all, they're nocturnal. They're only active at night. And they are known to be very silent, so you don't hear them. But then I went to the Penang Bird Park, and they have quite a big collection of owls. And that's when I fell in love with one of them. I have one shot called the Wet Owl.
Yes, I saw it. Very beautiful.
Yes, it's my award-winning shot.
Mm-hmm.
It was a buffy fish owl. It's a species native to this region. It was just standing, and it was pouring rain. We were both soaking wet. I had a fever. So we were both feeling quite miserable. I looked at her and she looked at me and we had kind of a silent connection.
Yeah.
I call it a silent conversation. Yeah, and I stood there and we just looked at each other for a long while. Then only I took out the camera and I shot about 2-3 shots only. And that one shot of her looking at me, looking so miserable and wet,
mm-hmm.
I sent it for a competition and it surprisingly won the grand prize.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. So that was the turning point for me. I thought, well, this award had given me so much validation and so much love from people all over the world. I owe it to the owls to do a series on them because I want people to know about them. They're precious. They're wonderful. And I could go on for hours about owls, but that was the main idea. To tell people they exist, they are in Malaysia. Because a lot of people, when they see my photos, they ask me, where did you shoot this?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, all over Malaysia. And they say, oh, I thought you took this in somewhere in Europe, maybe. They actually didn't know that the barn owl, for example, the one they call burung hantu, they're actually native to Malaysia.
People didn't know that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're doing sort of an education program almost for the
educating
owls.
Educating people. They also ask me, it's so cute. Where do I find one? I want to buy one.
Oh, God.
So then my job is to tell them, you shouldn't. Yeah. If you see someone selling them, please report. Some owl species are endangered, so they're protected. And it's really not fair to them to keep them as pets. They are predators. Of course, they are cute and fluffy, but they are killers.
Mm-hmm.
They need to hunt. They need live prey. They need space. Yes.
And I mean, just caging a bird, why would you do that?
Exactly. I just tell them, please get a cat or a dog.
a domestic animal. And I think that's also part of your work, right? To tell people that or most animals just don't belong behind a cage or in a cage. How are you sort of furthering that message?
Anytime I post a photo, the caption will say, let's say if it's a monkey, baby monkeys are the cutest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So people will comment, I want one, where can I find one? So I have to put in the caption, monkeys are not meant to be pets. They can be tamed, but they will always be wild. There's a difference between domestication and tameness. A domestic animal is like a cat or a dog or a bunny. Those have been bred to live with people. But wild animals will always be wild at heart. So if you get a wild animal, there will be problems, I guarantee it. They bite, they scratch, they make a mess, they become depressed. And that's why a lot of animals are abandoned. So I want to prevent that. Anyone who asks me about where do I get one, my default answer is don't get one. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm speaking today to Shama Issouf. She is a wildlife photographer, and we are actually going to be further discussing the sexism that she faced in her career as a photographer. That's coming up after this quick break. You are listening to Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is Shama Issouf. She is a wildlife photographer, and we are discussing, well, sort of the sexism that she faced in photography, but also her wildlife photography career and how she's working to tell people that, you know, animals don't quite belong behind bars. Wild animals belong in the wild, right? That is your ultimate message. But in your work, have you ever experienced any, I suppose, sexist or patronizing behavior from, I don't know, colleagues or, you know, bosses or anyone for that matter?
Yes, absolutely. Especially when you partner with other photographers, you go out shooting. There's a kind of credibility gap also, I think. Credibility in the sense that it doesn't matter how many awards you win, how many magazine covers you've done, how many publications you've had. You're still not taken seriously. So when you want to get projects off the ground, you reach out to people, the first thing they see is your gender instead of your talent. Of course, people say you should let your talent speak for itself. But I will say that women in art and photography are judged against a harsher standard, I feel. For example, if somebody shares my work online and they don't mention that I'm a she, the comments will be overwhelmingly positive. They'll say, good job, man. Dude, this is so awesome. They'll assume I'm a guy. But if someone shares my picture and they mention that I'm a she, the comments will be very skeptical. They will question, what gear do I use? Because I use a 35mm lens and sometimes a 50mm, and those lenses don't zoom. I won't get very technical, but it's very minimal gear. So they question, how is that possible? Because in my work, there's close proximity with the animal. And they think it's because I have a huge zoom lens, when actually it's very small and it doesn't zoom. Mm-hmm. So I have to be very close to them. I would say an arm's length distance. So yeah, they will question that. They will question other things like, did she bait those animals? Because baiting is a controversial method. Like for predators, sometimes people would put meat out to bait them to come closer. I don't do that, but they will question it. That's in terms of credibility. And also, yeah, we are judged against a harsher standard. Like if another example is, if there's a 100% male art exhibition or photography exhibition, no one will bat an eye. But let's say there's once in the blue moon, there's a competition open only to women. Oh, dear. They will say this is reverse sexism. The feminazi agenda is ruining the industry. There's no place in the art world for such things. Why segregate the genders when actually we're trying to be inclusive? So those are the kind of backlash.
And you use the name Sham Jalimi when you are... that's, I suppose, your photographer name, if I can call it that?
Yes.
Why is that? Why did you choose that?
So my first name is Shama. Mm-hmm. And people have always called me Sham for short. And Jalimi is actually a cartoon character that I really loved growing up. It's a show called The Moomin from Finland. And it used to be broadcasted on our local TV station back home.
Right.
And we watched it in French. So the French name of this character is Jolimi. In English, her name is Little Mai. So she's this tiny girl with huge green eyes and a tiny mouth. She looks exactly like me.
Okay. Very beautiful, you might add, I must add, but okay, I understand that now. So do you think then that photography is traditionally a very male field? And if so, why?
I think so, yes, especially wildlife. Why? I'm guessing because of all these issues of not being taken seriously. I think women don't even want to venture into it because they're not encouraged to. A lot of people have told me they wouldn't peg me as a wildlife photographer. They thought I'd do fashion or maternity or weddings.
Traditionally very soft female yes. topics, I suppose.
Those fields in photography that have a more feminine feel. And I did have one lady tell me, when I imagine a wildlife photographer, I imagine someone who looks like Indiana Jones.
Hmm.
But instead of a machete, he carries a camera. So that's not me at all.
So dressed all in khaki with, you know, your yes. hat and your swagger and everything. Yeah. I was reading some articles about other female photographers, not necessarily wildlife photographers, but photographers as well. And they were saying things like, you know, the struggles that they faced, that how some people believe they didn't have the power to run a photography set, you know, that women photographers struggle to handle a tense shoot, you know, on which photographers have to be aggressive and assertive in a time crunch situation. I mean, is that something that you've ever faced, you know, like people thinking you don't have the authority or the strength to handle a photo shoot?
Yes, I think we are underestimated. Women photographers are considered not, as you said, assertive enough. But when we are assertive, that's not what they see. They see bossy. They see shrill. If you raise your voice just a little, they say, why is she shouting? Well, if a man does it, no one will bat an eye.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose the, you know how you're saying that people question your wildlife photography. I mean, because obviously wildlife has a connotation of being out there in the jungle, being, you know, in close proximity with wild animals who are, like, as you mentioned, not necessarily the tamest creatures in the world. So how did you yourself actually come to terms with that, with the potential danger that you might face?
There's always danger when you deal with animals, mm-hmm. be it domestic or wild. Like, the worst bite I ever got was from a very pampered family dog. People always ask me, are you not scared of, like, wild monkeys or owls or birds of prey? They have huge talons that if they land on you, they can rip your flesh. I say there's always danger, but you need to approach them with a certain level of respect. All of us humans, we have a certain human ego. And I would say to just get rid of that. Just think of yourself as just another animal. If you're going to the jungle, you're going to someone else's house. So behave like you're just a guest there. So it's all in the way I approach them. I make sure I'm non-threatening to them. You need to read about them, their behavior. I have a series called Monkey Souls that I shoot all over urban areas in KL. And those monkeys are definitely wild. And they're huge. They have huge fangs, they have four hands, and they are much stronger than any human. So there is some danger in that. But I approach them in a way that is not threatening. I've been shooting with male photographers before, and I can see the energy is different. The male photographers will come in with a swagger. They go up to the animals and just poke the camera in the face.
Right.
But when I took my female friend, a photographer, the energy is totally different. We will sit down, take the time, talk to the babies, talk to the mothers. Then they will come and sit with us. Then only we take the camera and respectfully, quickly take a shot.
And I think animals always feed off our energy. I'm sure you've come across that in your work as well.
They absolutely sense our energy. They can read us better than we can read them. They are far more intelligent than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have this emotional intelligence that they can sense if someone came here with a pure intention or if someone is just here just to get the shot and get out.
I'm assuming then you must have spent hours with these wild animals, you know?
Yeah, I spent hours. Sometimes I don't even shoot. I just sit with them and enjoy their company.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Where has your wildlife photography taken you to? I mean, you said you traveled all around Malaysia.
All over Malaysia. Most of my shots are from here. I would say 99%.
Also including East Malaysia, Sabah, Sarawak as well?
That's the last frontier for me.
Okay.
I haven't been shooting there yet.
Oh, wow. Imagine what
it's on my list, though.
I suppose then, how did you take, you know, the criticism that you got, you know, like, oh, can you carry this? How did you manage that? You know, those sorts of things, the comments that came your way. How did you take that and, I suppose, use it to further improve your photography, if at all?
I just persisted. If I give up, what would that say about me? Like, I have a voice and I didn't lend it to those who didn't have one. That would make me complicit. It would put me on the wrong side of history. When the new generation looks back and they ask, why didn't you do anything to save those animals? I want to be able to say, well, I tried.
And I don't know if you try to sell your photos, you know, to publications or whatever. Is that something that you do?
Yeah, recently I had a solo photography exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
It was curated by this NGO called People, Ideas, Culture. I had it at a cafe called March Azalea. And I just put my photos onto canvas and just hung them on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I sell the canvas.
Okay. What I was actually wondering was whether you also sell it to like magazines, for example, wildlife magazines and things like that. And have you ever faced any sort of, I suppose the word is discrimination because you were a female photographer?
Well, for one, the magazines in Malaysia do not pay to have my photos published. Maybe that's not a gender-specific issue.
Okay.
But outside of Malaysia, I was able to be paid to be on the cover or even be inside the magazine mm-hmm. for a full-page feature.
Okay.
But here, they're just like, there's no budget for this.
All right. And how did you, I mean, then did you say, please don't use my images? Or how did you react
to that? It's a dilemma. But I did accept for some because I do need people to know about wildlife. And if I don't portray that message, who will?
Right.
It's like what Emma Watson says, if not me, then who?
And do you think your experience has changed throughout? Because you've been doing this for more than 10 years, if I'm not wrong, right? Have you seen improvements that, like, you know, people are more welcoming of you as a female wildlife photographer? Any sort of positive changes that you're seeing?
Well, when I socialize with my feminist group, they are very supportive of me. Most of my fans are women. When I see my analytics on social media, overwhelmingly, those are women who support me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. Because you're also on Instagram, you're also on, I mean, you're on social media as well, mm-hmm. right? Do you ever face, I suppose, negative comments then? Or negative feedback about your work?
Yeah. Once this man just said, your photos don't have any wow factor.
Wild or wow factor?
Wow factor.
Okay.
There's nothing special about them.
Okay.
So I took that as just a random guy, you know.
Expressing himself, let's just say it like that.
On the internet, the anonymity gives people a license to be
nasty.
Nasty, yeah. But then I have so many positive comments, they just outweigh the bad ones.
And are you working to sort of, you know, empower other women photographers out there? I don't know if you've met a lot in the course of your career as a photographer.
The ones that I've met are specializing in those fields that we talked about earlier, like weddings, children's shoot, maternity, fashion, those fields that have a feminine quality to them.
Mm-hmm.
But in wildlife, I'm very sad to say that I haven't met anyone yet around in Malaysia or in this region. I've asked around. Where are the women specializing in wildlife?
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are based in the West. So where are the women of color? I'm still waiting to meet them. It's very lonely, so I hope I'm not the only one.
And then I suppose, how do your male colleagues treat you? Do they treat you any differently? Or have you felt that they treated you any differently? Because you did mention that you go and shoot together with them, right?
Yeah, they will have... It's only the small things that prick you. I call them microaggressions. I think that's the term for it. It's the small comments, the backhanded compliments.
Yeah.
For example, I told one of the male photographers, I think I want to print a photo book with all my pictures. And the photo book has 40 pages to fill. And his response was, do you even have 40 good photos to print?
Wow, that's unnecessary.
Yeah. It's those small comments like that.
And you're thinking that that's based on your gender? That was like he wouldn't have said that to another male colleague, for example?
Yeah, I always wonder, if I were a male, mm-hmm. would the response be the same? And I don't think so. I see them interact with each other. And they're always supportive of each other. I know that there are photography collectives, meaning a group yeah. that usually shoot together, work together, that are 100% male. And when I ask them, where are the women? They'll give me excuses like, well, they didn't volunteer to join. And when I probe further, did you invite any women? Then I don't get a response.
But you're still continuing with what you're doing, I suppose. You're not going to give up. This is something that you obviously love, you're passionate about. How are you going to break that proverbial glass ceiling? Are you working towards doing that and just, you know, getting out there and doing even more wildlife photography?
Yeah, I will just keep doing my ongoing series. Because outside, well, thank God for the internet, so many people reach out to me from all over the globe. And a lot of them just don't care about my gender. They just appreciate the work. So they kind of give me some encouragement to just keep going. And then in my volunteer work, I used to volunteer as a photographer for shelters. When I took pictures of the dogs, they would get adopted so much faster. So that is making a real difference in that animal's life. That also gives me encouragement to keep going. And I've seen that I've inspired people to become animal welfare activists based solely on upon seeing my photos and hearing me talk about the animals. So yeah, I will persist.
That's wonderful. And do you have any message out there, you know, just to conclude, do you have any message out there for, you know, women who maybe think that wildlife photography is a very male sort of, you know, maybe they have that same image that, well, you need to be an Indiana Jones type character running around in the forest and, you know, being strong and, you know, a strapping big man. What would your message be to them?
It's true that some male wildlife photographers, they carry 20 kg of gear. But I only have that one Fujifilm X-T1 and my 35mm and I'm still doing it. So if I can do it, anyone can.
And you're an award winner. Let's just let's just put that there. So how can people who are interested in your work, how can they sort of find you online?
They can find me on Instagram, on Facebook, and I have a portfolio on 500px. Mm-hmm. They just search, they Google Sham Jolimi. Yeah.
So that's Shamjolimie, yes? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Sham, for joining me today.
Thank you. It's wonderful talking to you.
This has been Feminist Fridays. I've been speaking to Sham Jolimi, also known, well, her real name actually is Shama Yusuf. And if you'd like to find out more, like she said, you can find her on Instagram, on Facebook, also 500px, mm-hmm. you were mentioning. And I think you also have your own website?
Yeah, Weebly. It's on Weebly. It's weebly.com/Sham Jolimi.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. This has been Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.